We've been going through the first letter to the Corinthians for a long time, and we've made it to almost, well, it'll take a while to get through chapter 15, but we're in chapter 15. Today, our passage is going to be one of the most solemn and sober passages, I believe, in the Bible. Our text is going to be 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 19. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." In church history, oftentimes it's heresy that prompts Christians to produce the best theology. You have someone who shows up and says something awful, something terrible, something completely heretical, and now Christians are forced to give you a more detailed and careful explanation of what it is that they believe. And as we have already seen in Corinth, sadly, there were some Corinthians, some within the church, who said there is no resurrection of the dead. Dead people do not rise. And that, of course, prompts the Apostle Paul to give us this great chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, which is the most detailed explanation about resurrection. Not just Christ's resurrection, our resurrection. Now, as we've already seen in this letter thus far, whenever Paul begins a new topic, he states it. Like right in the beginning, chapter 1, he'll say, "All right, I hear that there's divisions among you, so let's talk about that." Chapter 8, he says, "All right, concerning foods that have been sacrificed to idols," and he goes on. Chapter 12, he starts, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts," and he goes on. Well, as we get to chapter 15, he's beginning a new topic, but we've gone through the first 11 verses. In the first 11 verses, it's not perfectly clear where he's going. He hasn't announced the topic yet. He starts off the chapter, the section, and he says, "I want to remind you of the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection." And you can see the Corinthians reading this letter for the first time. They're going, "Okay, we're with you." And then he says, "Do you know how many people saw Jesus resurrected? I mean, I saw him resurrected. The apostles saw him resurrected. Over 500 people saw Jesus risen from the dead." And they're reading this letter going, "Okay, where are you going with this?" And it's not until verse 12 that he drops the bomb on them, introducing the topic. And so in verse 12 he says, "Now if Christ has preached that he's been raised from the dead," which is what we've been talking about, "how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead?" You can just imagine the few who were saying that. Like, "Oh, he heard about us. He knows about that." We talked about this when we had an introduction to the chapter. Ancient Greeks, and the Corinthians were ancient Greeks, ancient Greeks did not believe in the resurrection of the body. No such concept within ancient Greek thought. Dead people do not rise. It is impossible. We're scientists. These things cannot happen. And it seems that some of the Corinthians in the church had allowed their unbelieving society to tell them what was possible and what was not possible. And they're like, all right. And how many Christians today do the exact same thing? The world will say things, oh, what, do you believe that God can't create the universe in 6 days? Oh. There's no flood that flooded the entire world? Oh. Virgins can't give birth? We know that. Oh. Okay. And so you have people in churches who end up ignoring basic teaching of the Bible because the world told them, well, that can't happen. Oh, okay. So some of the Corinthians, like their pagan society, are saying, there's no resurrection from the dead. That can't happen. Can we do that? Can we have church where we can get together and we can sing some nice songs and we can tell some cool stories and we can have some food and hang out and have a good time and let's just ignore the resurrection. Let's just say let's not talk about that. Can we do that? There are people who think you can, and there are people apparently in Corinth who thought you can. Well, what does the Apostle Paul think? So what he's going to do here in our passage, and this is going to be devastating now, he is going to say, let's assume for argument's sake that you're right, that there's no such thing as resurrection. What does that mean? What would the implications be? What would be the result of that? Can we have Christianity? Can we have church without resurrection? So, verse 13, he says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If you're saying that fundamentally, it is fundamentally impossible for a dead person to rise from the grave, if that's axiomatic, dead people do not rise, there is no resurrection, then necessarily Jesus has also not risen from the dead. Jesus was a human being, right? Well, Paul, Nico, but Jesus was special. I'm not saying he wasn't special, but he was still a human being. Well, yes, but he was also God. I'm not saying he wasn't God, but the Word became flesh. He became a human being like us. Scripture says he became like us in every aspect except for sin. Okay? Jesus had to be a fully human being in order to be our substitute. The Scripture actually says that if you deny the humanity of Christ, you're an antichrist. Okay? The humanity of Christ is a fundamental element of Christianity. So if Jesus was a human being, and human beings cannot rise from the dead, then you're saying that Jesus also didn't rise from the dead. Necessarily. And now we got huge problems. Look at verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Let's just stop there for a second. Our preaching is empty. It's in vain. It's pointless. There's no substance to it. There's nothing to preaching. If Christ has not been raised, and we just talked about how the gospel is about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, so if Christ has not been raised, then there's no gospel. And if there's no gospel, well, what are we doing here? There's no point. There is no reason for me to be preaching. There is no reason for you to be here. You didn't have to get up on a Sunday morning. You can go home. You could have slept in. You could have gone to the beach. You could have done all kinds of stuff except come here and listen to preaching, which is pointless. If there is no resurrection, preaching is meaningless. There is nothing. I have nothing to give you. There is no good news. There's nothing. We're wasting our time if there is no resurrection. Our preaching is empty. And he goes on. Middle of verse 14. Well, verse 14, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. If there's no resurrection, Jesus is dead. So that means that you've entrusted your souls to a dead man. You want to get life from a person who is dead. Your faith is empty. Listen. Faith is only as valuable as the object of our faith. What do I mean by that? I mean, faith only matters if that which you believe in matters. If someone says, "Oh, I believe in this chair." What do you mean you believe in this chair? "Oh, I believe in this chair. I have faith in this to do what?" "I believe this chair will save me from death and hell." Okay? So if I take this chair and I throw it away or burn it and there's no more chair, then what happens to your faith? Your faith only has value if that which you believe in has value. If that which you believe in can't save, then your faith is kind of pointless. It's meaningless. There are people who will say, "You know what? Even if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, faith is good. It's good to believe in something." You know, believing in something, you know, it keeps people moral. Believing in something, it keeps society from going off into anarchy. Faith, and just believing in something is good. Well, I could care less. I really could care less. Look, I don't care about myths. I don't care about fairy tales. Just give me the brutal facts. And the brutal fact is that if Jesus has not risen from the dead, your faith is pointless. You've entrusted your life to someone who can't save you. So your faith is pointless. We have a hymn. You all know it. What's it called? It's called He Lives. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus. You know that song. And it ends by saying, "You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." Now, don't mean to ruin anything for you. And there's truth in that. But that's not what Paul is talking about in this passage. When he says Jesus rose from the dead, and there's "I saw him," and "Peter saw him," and "the apostles saw him," and 500 other people saw him, all right? He is saying Jesus rose physically, literally. He was in the grave and he came out, okay? If Jesus didn't literally, physically rise from the dead, I don't care how much he lives within your heart, your faith is pointless. If there is no resurrection, you are hoping in a dead man. Your faith is meaningless. Verse 15. "Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise." Right? He says, if there's no resurrection, I'm a liar, the apostles are liars, because we all said that Jesus rose from the dead. The apostles are not merely giving you moral teaching. They're giving you, they're telling you of things that they witnessed. Day of Pentecost, the beginning of the New Testament church, Peter stands up and he says, "You killed the Messiah, but God raised him from the dead." When Paul was in Athens, he says, "God is going to judge the world in righteousness, and you know he's going to do that through one man through whom he raised from the dead." The apostles are always talking about the fact that they have seen Jesus risen from the dead, which means that if there is no resurrection from the dead, they were all lying to you. All of them were liars, deceivers, false witnesses. And don't get me started on things like, "Well, even if there's no resurrection, I mean, Paul wrote the book of Romans. I mean, Romans is just an amazing piece of literature. Who cares?" Oh, John, the apostle of love. The apostle of love, such a wonderful man. And it's like, that's rubbish, okay? If there's no resurrection, they were lying. They were deceivers, crooks, charlatans, all of them. And you know what? They wrote the New Testament. Which means that you can't trust the New Testament. Because it was written by a bunch of crooks. Notice, quick side note, notice how everything is falling apart if you deny the resurrection. If you say there's no such thing as resurrection, everything is falling apart. Verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. He repeats himself there. Verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. In Romans chapter 4, it says that the Lord Jesus was delivered up, crucified, because of our sins, and was raised because of our justification. Now, I understand that to mean that we are sinners, and Christ died because of our sins, to pay for our sins, yes. But then it says he was raised because of our justification. Christ, having paid for our sins, having accomplished our justification through his blood, is then raised from the dead. God vindicates Christ. God proves that Christ has accomplished his work by raising him from the dead, because he accomplished the work that he was given to do. The resurrection is God saying to Jesus, job well done. You have paid for the sins of your people. You have accomplished the atonement. And he is victorious over death. If Jesus does not rise from the dead, that means that God is saying, no, sacrifice not good enough. You just stay where you are. Stay in the grave. Like everyone else. If Jesus does not rise, then God the Father is saying that his sacrifice, not acceptable. So if there is no resurrection, that means that Jesus' sacrifice for your sins was no good, which means that you're still in your sins. You're still in your sins. And don't start by saying to me, well, God is love, and so he'll just forgive us anyway. He'll just forgive us anyway. God is holy, and God is just, and God can't just ignore sin. Oh, it doesn't matter. Sin must be punished. And Christ was sent to be our substitute, to die in our place for our sins. But if his sacrifice is not accepted, it's not good enough, then you're still in your sins. Your sins have not been forgiven. The Bible says that salvation is in Christ alone. And if Christ was not able to accomplish your salvation, you're still in your sins. You need to go find a new Savior, because Jesus couldn't do it. If there is no resurrection, you are still in your sins. If there is no resurrection, we're all going to hell. And it gets worse than that. It can get worse than that. It gets worse than that. Verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Bible says there's two ways to die. You can die in faith, or you can die in your sins. And if there is no resurrection, our faith is pointless. And not only are we still in our sins, but all those who believed in Christ and have died, they also died in their sins. And they have perished. Think of all people who have died for Christ, all people who have died for righteousness' sake, even before Christ, from righteous Abel to Zechariah, even for the past 2,000 years, Christian martyrs who have died, given their lives for Christ, they're all fools. They're all fools because they gave their lives for a God who couldn't even raise his own son from the grave. And now, they're gone. They've perished. No hope for us, no hope for them, if there is no resurrection. You know how oftentimes Christians will speak of seeing loved ones who have died, one day being reunited with loved ones who have died. Well, Paul says, if there is no resurrection, I don't want anyone fooling themselves. If there is no resurrection, they've perished. Gone forever. If Christ is not risen. Now, again, a quick side note here. Paul is not saying, listen, everyone, we might as well believe in the resurrection because the alternative is just way too awful. That's not his point. Right? His point simply is that if we say there's no resurrection, these are the logical steps. Okay? If there is no resurrection. So you said, number one, if there's no resurrection, that means that Christ is not risen. Our preaching is empty. Your faith is empty. The apostles are liars. You're still in your sins. Those who have died in Christ have perished. And he sums it all up in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. I don't think there's anyone who wants to waste their life. I don't think there's anyone who on their deathbed want to look back and say, I think I wasted my life. That's not a good thought. You know how there's a lot of people who don't like Christians? There's a lot of people in the world who don't like Christians, who hate Christians. And I want to say to them, look, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe the resurrection, you shouldn't hate us. You should pity us. Because we've all wasted our lives. If what we believe is not true, we have wasted our lives. Struggling against sin, against temptation, it's exhausting. Going to church, praying is tiring, praying is work. Going to Bible study, telling people about Christ, but doing all that, and then all we have to look forward to is judgment and punishment, because apparently Jesus couldn't pay for our sins. That's wonderful. If that's true, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we have all wasted our lives. It's all been pointless. We should be pitied. People should look at us and say, if only they understood. Now, I want to just show you, I know this is in our passage for next week, but I want to just take a sneak peek into the next verse. Look at the first word in the next verse. The first word in verse 20 is, but. That's one of those, but God. But, okay, I know I painted a very gloomy picture, and this has been not a very enjoyable sermon. But now Christ is risen from the dead. You know what that means? That Christ is risen from the dead? That means that preaching is not pointless. It matters. People hear the gospel and get saved. Your faith is not empty. it's not pointless. All right? It's the chain that links you to Christ, that joins you to Christ. The apostles were not liars. They spoke the truth. You can trust what they said, and you can trust what the Bible says. You're not in your sins anymore. Your sins have been forgiven. Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient. And God has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. And those who have died have not perished. But they're with the Heavenly Father right now. And we should not be pitied. We should be envied, actually, because we're the most blessed people in the world. We haven't wasted our lives. You don't waste your life by trusting in Christ and living for Him. Because He has risen from the dead and He gives life to all those who trust in Him. And if there is anyone who has not trusted Christ, who has been wasting his life thus far, there's still hope. Just like the thief on the cross, who had wasted his whole life, but there was hope because he was still alive. Romans 10 says, and I'll close with this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Let's pray.